ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from the seventh canto, chapter 4, text 24, 24 through 26. This chapter is entitled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Earth. So, yes, text 24. Tesha. Avirbhud Bhani Arupa Megha Nikshvana. Excuse me. Nishvana Sanadayanti Kakuba Sadhuna Abhayankari Tesham Avirabhut Bhani Virabhut Arupa Meganishvana Sanadayanti Kakuba Kakuba Sadhuna Abhayankari Tesham Avirabhut Bhani Arupa Meganishvana Sanadayanti Kakuba Sarunam Abhayankari Tesham Avirabhut Bhani Rupameganishana Sanadayanti Kakuba Kakuba Sadhunam Abhayankari Tesham.
In front of all of them,
Avirbhut Avirabhut
appeared Bhani, a voice.
Anrupa,
without a form.
Meganishvana,
resounding like the sound of a cloud. I think that means thunder. Yeah, clouds are quiet generally.
Sanadayanti,
causing to vibrate.
Kakuba,
all directions.
Sadhuna,
of these saintly persons.
Abhayankari,
driving away the fearful situation. So this verse begins with the word then. So then refers to something that happened, and the universe is being terrorized. That's the name of this chapter. Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. It is said even Narada Muni had to submit. Everyone had to submit except Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. Otherwise, Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, no one could stand up to him. And he was terrorizing the universe, so naturally, the controllers of the universe are extremely concerned about what will happen. As we know, even in a small organization, if you have a bad leader, it creates problems. If you have a good leader, everyone's happy. If you have a bad leader, everyone's unhappy. Isn't it? Even five people, even one family, If you have somebody crazy in the family, drive everybody crazy. So now, Hiranyakashipu, he's driving the universe crazy. So the controllers of the universe, they can't do anything. And when you can't do anything, what do? You either run away, kill yourself, bash your head on the ground, or you go to Vishnu. What else can you do? Sometimes we have problems and we try to solve them and we've tried everything and nothing seems to perfectly solve the problem. What do we do at that point? Krishna. There is a devotee. He was having a problem. I was counseling him. For 2 years I counseled him. He lives in America, so every year I'm living in India and I go back to America. And so when I go back, I call him, "How are you doing?" So after 2 years, he said, "I've given up." And I thought I'd given him so many good instructions to fight this problem. He said, "I couldn't do it. I gave up." And then he said, "But it's not bad. It's actually good." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I realized that I was trying to fight this problem with so many strategies, so many angles of vision, so much information, and I kept losing, so I gave up. I turned it over to Krishna and I said, 'Krishna, I give up. I cannot do this on my own.'" And he said, and the problem went away. So, anyone have that experience? When all else fails, you put your hand up in the air and say, "Krishna, I can't do this." You know the story of Draupadi. Draupadi 3 times called for Krishna, but he only came the 3rd time. And it said, it was only the 3rd time that she started crying. And when she cried, then Krishna said, "Oh, she really wants me now." He wasn't sure. So sometimes we may pray, "Krishna, please help me." But Krishna may think, "I don't know. You really want me to help you? Are you that desperate?" But when you become as desperate as Draupadi, then Krishna comes. "Okay, Krishna, I cannot do this on my own. I've tried everything. I'm helpless. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me." Then Krishna comes. So that facility we all have. And therefore, you could say that none of us should ever, or none of us ever need to fear that Maya will stop our devotional service. Because no matter what happens, if we want Krishna and we pray, Krishna will save us. You agree? So you should never have that fear. What if Maya becomes too strong? As long as we want Krishna, even if we're weak and we sincerely pray, as Draupadi, with tears in the eyes, then Krishna will say, "Okay, this is what you want, I will give it to you." And in fact, Krishna loves to do that. He loves to fulfill the desires of his devotees. There's nothing more he likes than doing that because he loves his devotees. And when you love somebody, you always want to fulfill their desires. Isn't it? Just like parents, they're always buying things for their children because they love them. They want to find out what the children want and buy it. So you have to let Krishna know what you want with a tear in the eye, and then Krishna said, "Okay." And therefore, you're always protected, and whatever problem you have, no matter how huge it is, you'll be able to conquer it by Krishna's grace. And our own power, sometimes we're strong, sometimes we're determined, sometimes we're tolerant, and we can push through, and sometimes it gets really difficult. And we say, "Krishna, I can't do this without you." Sometimes when things are difficult, we pray to Krishna, "Can you make it easier?" isn't it? Can you change this situation? Can you move this person out of the way? Can you make it easier? The real prayer is, Krishna, give me the strength to deal with it. The prayer is not, please change the situation. The prayer is, please change me so I can deal with it. And if we have faith that Krishna can change us, then we'll pray that way. But again, the main thing is he wants to know, do you really want it? Or do you just say you want it? Do you really want it? I want to know. Draupadi, three times. Krishna, please come and help me. So Krishna was in Dwarka, and Satyabhama said, Draupadi's in danger. Why aren't you going? She's calling you. And Krishna said, no, it's too late. I can't get there fast enough. And Satyabhama's, what do you mean you can't get there fast enough? No, my chariot's not fast enough. Then again, Govinda! Krishna, why aren't you going? She's calling you. No, it's too late, not fast enough. And then the third time, hey, Govinda! And then all of a sudden, Krishna mounts his chariot. And he says, now I can go because I will travel on the chariot of the tears of Draupadi. So now I can go. So we have to remember that story, because a lot of times we pray, but maybe we don't mean it. Or maybe we don't care, or it's not that important, or we don't have faith. But if we imbibe this mood, then we can have the confidence that there's no problem that Krishna can't solve for us. I may not be able to solve it, but Krishna can solve, right? Does anyone doubt that Krishna can't solve a problem? That's why one of the offenses is not to have complete faith in the holy name. Because to not have complete faith in the holy name would mean, I'm so fallen the holy name can't purify me. I'm so fallen that even chanting of the holy name can't help me follow the regular principles and so on and so forth. I'm so fallen that the holy name's not powerful enough to guide me to make the right decisions, to give me the strength to make the right decisions, to do the right thing. That's a lack of faith, right? So when you have that faith and you chant with that faith, you get the power. If you lack the faith, it becomes nama-parad. Isn't that interesting? And if you chant nama-parad, then you'll believe that I can't conquer these problems. Because then you're not getting Krishna's power through the holy name, you're getting a shadow. Not even a shadow, you're not getting the holy name. You're getting a blank holy name. Then you can't solve your problem, then you lose faith. So I tried chanting, it doesn't work. I have this problem, it doesn't work. But when you have faith, then Krishna says, this devotee has faith, therefore I will reciprocate with his faith. He has so much faith in me and my power and the power of my name, I will purify him. Yeyatamam prapajyate. If you think the holy name doesn't have power, Krishna will say, okay, I'll show you it doesn't have power. You can remain entangled in the modes of nature, and you can chant 100 rounds a day, and still, nothing happens. No faith. Yes? But the real thing is that it's up to Krishna. If you have the desire, it's up to Krishna. It's not up to 100 rounds or 50 rounds, it's up to Krishna, because you want it, he'll give it to you. And if you chant 100 rounds to try to show off, then what do you get? Some false prestige, that's all. So now the controllers of the universe, they're praying to Lord Vishnu that Hiranyakashipu is creating trouble, please help us. And in this verse, it says, Arupa. There was no form, but they heard the voice. They just heard a voice. They're very fortunate. They have that connection. Wouldn't that be nice? You pray to Krishna, and then all of a sudden you hear him speaking to you. That would be nice, huh? Well, this, you know, we may hear Krishna with insight. They heard Krishna, the voice. And it was a thunderous voice. And Krishna said, as many Indians always say, Why you worry? Don't worry. Why you worry? No problem. Samasyane. So Vishnu said, Samasyane. No problem. I will take care of everything. In due course of time, Hiranyakashipu will be taken care of. So there's no purport. So we'll read text. I'll read text 25 and 26, and then we'll discuss this text. Ma bhaiṣṭa vibhūtā śiṣṭā sarveṣaṁ bhagramaṣṭubhā madarśanam hi bhūtānam sarvasreyo pujar sarvasreyo papātaye gyātametasya dhoratmyam daitya pāśadasya cat tasya shantim kurishami kalam tavat pratikshata. Translation. The voice of the Lord vibrated as follows. O best of learned persons, do not fear. I wish all good fortune to you. Become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers, for these are certainly meant to award benedictions to all living entities. I know all about the activities of Hiranyakashipu and shall surely stop them very soon. Please wait patiently until this time. So one of the things he's saying here is, don't give up your hearing and chanting. You ever been in distress and you're like, I can't chant, I can't read? That is a huge paradox, because when you're in distress, that's the time you need to read and chant the most. And many devotees say, oh, I ran into difficulty, so I stopped chanting. That's like saying, I'm preparing for the Olympics and I stopped eating. It doesn't actually make any sense. If you run into difficulty, why would you stop chanting? You would think you would chant more, right? So here, the universe is being terrorized. It looks like, it's kind of like, you know, worse than if ISIS was given, you know, the keys to every government house in the world. What would that look like? Well, this is worse. This is worse. And Vishnu, Lord Vishnu is saying, keep, if you hear and chant, you'll become purified. Ultimately, you become fearless, and I'll take care of everything. Isn't that nice? Just keep, don't give up your hearing and chanting. No matter what's going on, keep hearing and chanting. Everything will be okay. I'll take care of it. Can I tell you a story? 1970. I was sent to Vancouver, Canada, and I was asked to be the temple president. You could imagine 1970? Do your math. I wasn't very old. 19. So the GBC, he went up there with me. He showed me everything. He said, this is the cost of the rent. These are the bills. These are the programs. And there's $500 in the bank. So $500 in those days was something. And the rent was $250. So I went to the bank to get the money to pay the rent. Unfortunately, the GBC made a mistake. He added one too many zeros. There wasn't 500, there was 50. Krishna, help! What else could I do? The day before the rent is due, a devotee joins. I want to move in the temple. So many people would knock on our door and they would say, I want to move in the temple. Sisi Gaurani Jai, Sri Krishna Balaram, Radhe Shyamalita Vishakha Ki Jai. So he knocks on the door. I've seen you chanting on the street. I want to become a devotee. I brought all my possessions. I brought all my money. $250 required tomorrow for the rent. How much money do you think he brought? $250. Not more, not less. Next month, time to pay the rent. No money. Knock, knock. Somebody joins. I'm becoming a devotee. Didn't have money. He said, I have a guitar. You can sell the guitar. How much do you think we sold the guitar for? $250. That was our life. Sometimes we didn't even have money for prasadam, so we would go out on book distribution house to house in the evening, and we would ask, please take a book and also give a donation, but could you donate some fruit as well? And that was our breakfast the next morning. Whatever we collected that evening, that was the breakfast the next morning. Krishna, help me. I have nothing. And you might say, well, you must have been in anxiety living like that. But actually, after a while, it became sweet because you felt Krishna's protection at every moment, because you didn't know from day to day how you would eat. You really didn't know. And then you see Krishna comes and he saves you. You've jumped down the mountain and you're going down and down and you're wondering, is anyone going to catch me? And right before you crash land, you find Krishna's there. He catches you. We were driven out of our temple. Our temple was infested by rats. The health department closed it. We had no place to go. What are we going to do? Some Indian man, he said, I have a big house. You can make my house a temple. I'll just stay in one room. That was our new temple. We were helpless. We didn't know what to do. So once Prabhupada wrote a letter, and in the letter Prabhupada said, if you will go preach Krishna consciousness around the world without caring, without knowing or even caring how you will live, where you'll eat, where you'll get your food, and where you'll sleep, you just go. Pack your bags and go preach. If you do that without caring, without knowing or caring, just caring that I'll preach and not wondering where I'm going to sleep and where I'm going to get food, Prabhupada said, if you do that, I will take the dust from your feet and place it on my head. Is that amazing or is that amazing? When Prabhupada said that, we wanted to be on the edge. We didn't want to know where the next meal was coming from. We didn't want to know where the next 6 feet on the floor was going to be. We'd rather just be on the edge, because then Krishna would come and provide. And living that lifestyle, it was amazing, because Krishna always provided. Sometimes he comes a little late, you get nervous, you know. The rent is due in 6 hours, Krishna. Where is it coming from? So that was kind of exciting. And what's being said in this verse is that continue your hearing and chanting, make your best efforts to serve, and always depend on Krishna. So, I was not feeling very qualified to be a temple president because I was very young, and also I was only in the movement for 8 months. So you could imagine, we'll pick all the devotees, all the bhaktas who've been here for 8 months, and we'll say, go, you're now going to be the president of Punjabi Bagh, you'll be the president east of Kailash, we'll send you to Dwarka, we'll send you to Rohini. Could you imagine? 19 years old, 8 months in the movement, now you have to be a president. Krishna, help me! So Prabhupada wrote me, and he said, the way you can run this temple is you should feel 100% unqualified to do the job, and you should completely 100% pray and depend on Krishna to give you guidance. And he said, you should think that if Krishna, you don't guide me, everyone in the temple will leave. The whole thing will become a mess. So in that sense, Sometimes it's special to be on the edge, to have some service which is a little more difficult than you think you can handle, because then what do? Krishna, I can't do this. If you don't give me guidance, it's going to fail. And so you become completely dependent on Krishna. And that's exactly what's going on with the demigods here. And Krishna is saying, don't worry. Keep hearing and chanting this way. We're connected. Don't worry. So let's read the purport. My god brother Dravida chastises me because sometimes I speak an hour before I even get to the purport. But I have some good news. This was very ecstatic. I did that once. I read the verse and then I just spoke. And then I read the purport and it was so ecstatic because everything I said was in the purport. It was, you know, it's just like I was thinking, well, that's amazing, you know. You're as a disciple, you're supposed to be like your guru. So you're supposed to know your guru's mood and his books. And I was so ecstatic when I read the purport because I had actually covered the purport before I even read it. And I just felt, wow, it's just so nice. To understand Prabhupada, we should all understand Prabhupada to such a way that even we speak and what we speak ends up being in the purport. Wouldn't that be nice? Sometimes people are very much eager to see God. In considering the word madharshanam, seeing me, which is mentioned in this verse, one should note that in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, bhaktyamam abhijanati. In other words, the ability to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to see Him, or talk with Him, depends on one's advancement in devotional service, which is called bhakti. In bhakti, there are 9 different activities. Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandhanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. Because all these devotional activities are absolute, there is no fundamental difference between worshipping the deity in the temple, seeing Him, and chanting His glories. Indeed, all of these are ways of seeing Him, for everything done in devotional service is a means of direct contact with the Lord. The vibration of the Lord's voice appeared in the presence of all the devotees, and although the person vibrating the sound was unseen to them, they were meeting or seeing the Lord because they were offering prayers and because the vibration of the Lord was present. Contrary to the laws of the material world, there is no difference between seeing the Lord, offering prayers, and hearing the transcendental vibration. Pure devotees, therefore, are fully satisfied by glorifying the Lord. Such glorification is called kirtan. Performing kirtan and hearing the vibration of the sound, Hare Krishna, is actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must realize this position, and then one will be able to understand the absolute nature of the Lord's activities. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We have heard repeatedly that Krishna is non-different from His name. He's present in His name. We've also heard Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. And Prabhupada said something which is amazing, but maybe we have some, I don't want to say doubt, but maybe lack of experience. Prabhupada said, there is no difference, exactly the same. There's no difference between associating with Krishna and reading the Bhagavatam. So what does no difference mean? No difference means it's the same thing. Now, we've all read the Bhagavatam, and I'm sure everyone in this room at some point in their life fell asleep while reading the Bhagavatam. At least that must have happened for a few seconds. You may have nodded out once in your life. Anyone not fallen asleep reading Bhagavatam? Raise your hand. Okay, we have 1, 2 people who haven't fallen asleep yet. There's still hope for you. It may happen. Now, obviously, If Krishna appeared in your room, in your house, personally, it's highly unlikely you would fall asleep. Yes or no? No. The answer is you could. How is that? Because if you don't realize Krishna is in the Bhagavatam, if you don't realize Krishna is in his name, if you fall asleep during japa, then Prabhupada said, this Krishna is non-different from Krishna. That means you could fall asleep in the presence of Krishna. Because if you don't realize this is Krishna, or the name is Krishna, or the deity is Krishna, and it is Krishna, why would you realize Krishna as Krishna? Did that make sense? Should I say that again? If it's non-different, then the Krishna that you think is Krishna. No, I know this is Krishna, but I mean the real Krishna. I mean, I want to see the real Krishna, you know, the one that, the blue one with the flute, you know. That's the one I want to see. And Prabhupada's saying, no, you're seeing him in the Bhagavatam. You're seeing him in the holy name. No, I mean, you know, the one with the form. I want to see the form. Nama Rupa Guna Lila. Yes, if you realize Krishna is in his name, you see the form. Because wherever there's Krishna, there must be form, right? Because he's not formless. Isn't it? You understand? We say Nama Rupa Guna Lila. When you understand the name, then you'll see the form, the qualities, and eventually you'll see the pastimes. And the reason is because wherever there's Krishna, he has a form. He has qualities and he has pastimes. They're all in the name, but we don't see it. Therefore, it says progressively it's revealed, but it's all there. Because if Krishna is in his name, then there must be the form, correct? And there must be the qualities, correct? Because Krishna means form, qualities. And Krishna is always doing something, so there has to be lila. And therefore it said when a pure devotee chants, he sees the lila. That's called bhava. And in prema, he's part of the lila. He's not looking at it, he's in it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and he's in the lila. And therefore it is said, sometimes when these pure devotees are chanting, they're laughing. Why are they laughing? Because they're in the lila, or they're seeing the lila, and something funny is happening. And it said, sometimes they're crying. Why are they crying? Because Krishna has left. They're in the lila, and Krishna left, and now they're in separation. And they're crying. That's called japa, in case you didn't know. That's what happens when you realize these things. So, you may know this amazing story of Hanuman meeting Lord Ram and not recognizing Lord Ram. He met him and he didn't know him. How many of you know that story? Raise your hand. Okay. We'll tell the story. Most of you don't know. Well, Sugriva, the head of the monkeys, had a dispute or fight with his brother Bali, and he was afraid that Bali was going to attack, so he was hiding in the forest. And Lord Ram came with Lakshman and Sita, maybe not Sita, anyway, Lord Ram came with Lakshman, and they didn't see them, they just heard that someone's come. And so Sugriva told Hanuman, go see. It looks like Bali has sent a spy. Go see who it is. Go see what's happening. So Hanuman was in the mood that someone has come to spy on us. Spy means enemy. An enemy has come to spy on us. So Hanuman goes up to Lord Ram and says, who are you? What do you want? Why are you here? Interesting, isn't it? Hanuman's a Ram Bhakta from birth. He's in front of Ram and he's mad and angry, thinking Ram's a spy, dangerous, coming to kill them. Who are you? What do you want? Why are you here? And then Lord Ram says, I'm Lord Ram and this is my brother Lakshman. And Hanuman completely goes crazy, bows down and says, my Lord, I'm your devotee from birth. How is it that I didn't recognize you? How is that possible? You imagine, you know, somebody, great devotee, walks in a temple and you don't recognize them and you say something nasty. How would you feel? And Ram said, because you approached me as an enemy, you couldn't see who I was. So even if God is in front of you, if you don't have pure bhakti, you don't see Him. We all think, well, if Krishna just walked in front of me, all my problems would be gone, I'd become a pure devotee. I have some bad news for you. It's not that easy. I have more bad news for you. If you're not a pure devotee, He's not going to walk in front of you in the first place. And anyway, the point is, if He did, you wouldn't know who He was. Right? Because in material consciousness, we try to enjoy everything we can touch, see, smell, taste, or feel. The immediate reaction is, how can I enjoy it? Yes or no? So if God walks in front of you and you think, how can I enjoy Him? You do not see Him, you only see sense gratification. And therefore you don't see Krishna. Does that make sense? So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his mood was, God should see you, you should not see God. So he had a balcony, and he used to take darshan from the balcony, but he couldn't see the deity. I think he would take his glasses off. And they say, why you can't see the deity? And he said, no, I'm not taking darshan to see it, I'm taking darshan for the deity to see me. He said, because that's the proper mood, that we are enjoyed, He's the enjoyer. So He enjoys seeing us. So when you come for darshan, actually you're coming for roll call. You're showing up for Krishna to see you. Here I am, because Krishna enjoys seeing you. If we are in the mood of enjoyer and we see Krishna, we don't see Krishna. It's just like a new person, when they chant Hare Krishna, they're chanting to get some bliss, right? Chant Hare Krishna to make you happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I want to be happy. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Isn't it? Right? And we all know, if you chant in that mood, you don't become happy. You get bored and tired and it's not happy. And as soon as you go in the mood, this chanting is for Krishna's pleasure, you become happy, because now you're not enjoyer. You're servant. Yes? So, it's an important principle. We are, in one sense, we want to see Krishna. That's okay. Jagannashami Nayanapatagami Bhavatumi. I want to see Krishna. Why do I want to see Krishna? Because I'm a devotee of Krishna. I want to see Krishna because I'm attracted to Krishna. I want Krishna to reveal Himself. It'll give me inspiration. It'll give me faith. If that is the mood, I am servant, then I can see Krishna. And now, if my mood is I want to enjoy, I won't see Krishna. Even I chant the holy name, Krishna won't be there. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said something very amazing, very important. Should I tell you? This may catch you off guard, because it appears what he said is a little different, or not our tattva. He said, Krishna is not in His name. Uh-oh. Where is He? He said, the mere recitation of the name Krishna is not Krishna. But the recitation of the name which is endowed with the service mood, that name Krishna descends. He's present in that name. So just as you cannot see Krishna if you're trying to enjoy Krishna or you're an enemy of Krishna, you cannot see Krishna in the holy name if you're trying to be the enjoyer of the holy name. Unless your chanting is endowed with the mood of Krishna, let me serve you, Krishna's not in that name. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever heard that before? That's amazing. We've also heard Bhaktivinoda Thakur say, you could chant 100 rounds a day and nothing could happen. Why? Because that service mentality is not there. Therefore, Krishna's not there. Very important. Don't try to see God. Act in a way that God will see you. I am coming in front of the deity not to enjoy, but to be seen and enjoyed. And that is how I see God, as the enjoyed, not the enjoyer. I am not the enjoyer of the holy name. I am not the enjoyer of kirtan. I am not the enjoyer of devotional service. I am not even the enjoyer of prasadam. But Prabhu, prasadam tastes so good. I enjoy it. You are the enjoyer when you're in the mood that you're not the enjoyer. That is the only way you can enjoy. There is no other way to enjoy unless you're in the mood that I'm not the enjoyer. What stage do you get a taste for Krishna consciousness? It's the stage of ruchi. Ruchi is beyond anartha nirvritti, it's beyond nishta. At the stage when you're no longer trying to enjoy, that is the stage in which you enjoy. It's called ruchi. Before ruchi, it's up and down. At the stage of ruchi, it's constant. It's always enjoying. And at what stage do you realize what Prabhupada's saying in this verse, that Krishna and His name are the same? That is realized in the stage of bhava. Bhava is two stages past ruchi. So, and ruchi is past anartha nirvritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti. Asakti is almost love. You start to understand your rasa with Krishna. You start to feel, not understand it, but you get an inclination. In bhava, you understand your rasa with Krishna. In bhava, then you realize, when you say Hare Krishna, that's Krishna. That is non-different than Krishna. Bhagavatam is Krishna. Deity is Krishna. One time, you want to hear an amazing story? Raise your hand if you like amazing stories, because this might be one of the most amazing stories you ever hear in your life. Do I have your interest? It's what they call salting. You have to get people's interest, because at the end of the class you could get bored. So I have to tell you, this could possibly be the best story you've ever heard. Do I have your attention? In Los Angeles, California, Prabhupada arrived at the temple for deep for darshan. He had just come from the airport. And the temple was completely packed. And so one devotee, he was sitting up by the altar. Prabhupada came in, all the devotees came, surrounded him, and pushed him right next to Prabhupada. He had nowhere to go. So Prabhupada was taking darshan, and he was right next to Prabhupada. And he heard Prabhupada speaking, asking questions to the deity. Are they feeding you nicely? Prabhupada asked that question. And then the devotee didn't hear anything. He didn't hear the deity speaking, no thunder clouds, nothing shaking. And then 5-10 seconds later, Prabhupada said, oh, very good. He asked another question. Are they dressing you nicely? 5-10 seconds. He didn't hear anything. Prabhupada, oh, very nice. Are you happy? The devotee didn't hear anything. 5 seconds later, Prabhupada, oh, very good. Hare Krishna. Now you might think, you're making that story up. It's not true. Or that devotee, maybe he was a hippie, he took too much LSD, and he was imagining. So, when Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasan before class, he said, I can see that you're taking care of the deities very nicely. What did that mean? He just talked to the deities and asked them. And they told him that they were being taken care of very nicely. And then he called the Bhajari and he said, I want to thank you for taking care of the deity so nicely. And he said, continue in this way, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. So, when you're on this stage, you will see Krishna in Bhagavatam, in the holy name, in the deity. You can talk to the deity. You'll see the Leela. This is a lot to look forward to, isn't it? And I just want to end by saying, if we know this is the result of pure devotional service, that finally we will come to the point, we will see Krishna in the Bhagavatam. Every morning when we chant our rounds, we will be with Krishna, we will see the Leela. Therefore, whatever difficulty we have, whatever struggles we have in Krishna consciousness, it's worth being patient, it's worth tolerating, because someday this is what's going to happen. We're going to realize that Krishna is in His name. And at that point, we're not going to be able to stop chanting. We're actually going to taste it. Is it worth it? There's nothing else that's worth it. I can tell you that. There's nothing else. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bhav. So, we have a few minutes if you have questions or comments. Yes. It kind of works. Try to bang it a little bit. The beginning of Krishna consciousness, the problem is we don't understand. Oh, he's saying, we understand so much that we get bored when we hear classes, so we only want to go. We know so-and-so Prabhu or Maharaj gives a good class, I'll go to that. And the other class, I won't go. We lose taste, yeah. You know, Prabhupada once wrote a letter, and he was instructing everyone to go to the morning and evening program, and he said, I'm also going to the evening, listening to my disciples and enjoying. So that's a stage of ruchi, that anything about Krishna coming from anyone's mouth is enjoyable. Obviously, if it's coming from higher devotees, it's more enjoyable. But for pure devotee, it's enjoyable. Kirtan sung well, kirtan not sung well, it's enjoyable. Although, once they were having a kirtan, it was like what I call clang clang bang bang kirtans. You know those kirtans? Louder, louder, faster, faster. The mantra is not Hare Krishna, it's louder, louder, faster, faster. Clang clang bang bang. So there was one of those kirtans going on in Mayapur, and Prabhupada had heard it from his hut. So he said to a disciple, he said, what do you think of that kirtan? And even if you don't like it, you're not going to tell your spiritual master, clang, clang, bang, bang. Well, he said, it's okay, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, it is abominable. That kirtan is abominable. So, anyway, we have heard from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that in the stage of asakti, then even the kirtan is clang, clang, bang, bang, you still relish it. But if it's too clang, clang, bang, bang, it may be difficult. But the stage of asakti and above is everything about Krishna is just sweet, however it comes to you. So, yes, we're not there yet, so we, you know, it's like we're not like, you know, taking the rice that the cows won't eat in Puri and relishing it. We're not on that level yet. So, do your best. It's our duty as speakers and kirtaneers to make it sweet so people get a taste, because we're not on that level yet. So we can do that in devotion, but it's not a material thing. Anyway, it's understandable. Some people like certain vegetables, some people like certain classes. But still, you can find something wonderful in every class. Yes? Anything else? Yes?
Just like, thank you for Mangalarti.
We take darshan, we enjoy seeing the Lord. So what does that mean? We're enjoying seeing Him, we're enjoying Him seeing us. It's natural to enjoy seeing Him as long as we're not in material consciousness that I'm the enjoyer. Then everything's good. So as long as the devotee is in the bhav of I am enjoyed, then everything's good. Then why do I enjoy seeing Krishna? Because I think by seeing Him it invokes my desire to serve Him. Right? And I'm chanting, it invokes my desire to serve. But if I'm just chanting or seeing just to be happy, that could mix up with material desire or some kind of sensual or impure, some kind of mixed bhakti. Right? So it's a subtle thing. It's very difficult when we're taking prasadam to be totally in the mood of enjoying that Krishna has enjoyed this prasadam. Isn't it? Sometimes a challenge. So, but when we become elevated in Krishna consciousness, that's just our state of consciousness. So we're not going to battle with it. That's just who we are. You know, that's how we feel. We feel enjoyed all the time by Krishna. You know the goal is to become Krishna's slave. That's the goal. Just to be a slave of Krishna. So, Kinkara. Yes? Check what? Yes. We come to Bhagavatam class with different motivations, such as? Someone want gyan, someone want to learn what? How to improve their life? They want to have knowledge so they become expert at something. Oh, so they can get a material position. Yeah, that could be. Yeah. Someone wants knowledge because they want to look good. Yeah, that's there. Someone wants mystic power. I'll get some shakti by hearing Bhagavatam. Yeah. Yes. Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam is the process of bhakti. Yeah. Yeah, so we come with a mood of I'm coming here to serve Bhagavatam, increase my bhakti. Yeah. Yeah, that's the motivation. That you made a good point. That is motivation. There's a danger in learning. This is something that I've observed, and maybe you have also observed or have this experience. When you learn, there's a danger that you become proud. Because I know more than you, and because I know more than you, that means I'm better than you. If you know more than someone, it doesn't mean you're better, it only means you know more. That's all it means. We think it means we're better, because we want so much to be recognized that just by knowing more, we can, you know, kind of carry our weight. I know more shlokas than you, therefore I'm better than you. Kiss my feet. So if we're gaining knowledge to utilize that to become better, that knowledge which is pure is transforming into pride. That's also the same with the holy name. What kind of Vaishnava are you? Sitting in a holy place, chanting so many lakhs of rounds to get some recognition. So all those things you said are true, that anytime you approach something pure with an impure motive, there's always the chance that the pure thing can foster your material desires. So many, 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 many devotees who became scholars became proud, and eventually they fell down because of pride, because they thought they knew more. So you just have to be dangerous if you're learning a lot. Knowledge is meant to make you humble. If knowledge makes you proud, something is wrong. The holy name is meant to make you humble. If you think, hey, I'm the best kirtan leader in Vrindavan, something has gone wrong. Isn't it? So we're taking something pure into a system that's impure, and the pure thing can activate the impurity. That's always a problem, always a potential problem. Even the most pure thing activates the most impure thing. So we should always remember, when you learn more, the only difference between you and someone else is you know more. Learning more does not make you better. Learning more makes you better if you apply what you learn. Learning more makes you worse if it makes you think you're better. If learning more makes you think you're lower, then that's good. You're actually learning. If it makes you think you're better, that knowledge has turned into poison within your system. Yes? Very good point. Be careful. Yes. Hare Krishna. So we hear we shouldn't be proud and all these things, but unintentionally the desire is there. Yes. There's always a fear, I'm doing this service and I'll become proud. Protected? Yeah. Yeah. Well, how do I protect myself from becoming proud? Well, one way is we follow Lord Brahma's example. I'm creating the universe. I'm going to be like the CEO of the universe. I'm probably going to get proud of that. Anticipating I'm going to get proud, Krishna, please help me not become proud. So that's one way. Just anticipating I've been given this position. It's likely I could become proud in this position. I can explain my own realization. My own realization is to remember our real position always. So you are who you are today, right? If I take away your position, whatever your position is, if I take it away, did you go down at all? No, you're the same person. If I give you a big position, did you go up? No, you're the same person. So what happens to us is we get promoted and then we identify with that position and then we think, I'm better than you. A pure devotee or advanced devotee does not identify with position. He always understands his fallen condition. I am fallen, I need help. I always need help. He always remains in that position. He never forgets that. So you can put him in any position. Give him 100,000 disciples, give him $1 million a day, and he'll feel the same way he felt when he was a new devotee, struggling to get up in the morning. He'll always feel, I'm just struggling. That's the mood we have to develop. We always have to remember, your promotion materially does not have anything to do with your spiritual advancement necessarily. It might come as a byproduct, but in and of itself, it's not an indication of anything. And you are who you are, no matter what position you have. You're always who you are. That soul, struggling, full of material desires to become Krishna conscious. And awareness of that is called pure bhakti, or that's called humility. Now, there's one other thing I'd like to say. The real problem with pride is that we like it. So if we have an opportunity, subconsciously we may search it out because, hey, here's a position, here's an open spot. Hey, there's no one doing kirtan. I could do it. And if I do it, then everyone will see I can lead good kirtans. And I'll get bonus points. And then I can walk around the temple feeling good about myself because everybody now knows I'm a good kirtan leader. And actually, I'll just wait for everyone to come up to me and tell me, you know, that kirtan was really good, isn't it? Right. That's our conditioned nature, right? You could do the same thing with class. You can do the same thing with dressing the deities, cooking. Just, hey, Prabhus, the line starts over here after class. You can just line up and tell me, that was a great class. Right? And actually, that's the only reason I agreed to give class here. Actually, that's the only reason I came to Vrindavan, because it's really prestigious to give class in Vrindavan. So actually, I didn't come here for any other reason than to give class. And if they didn't let me give class, I would never come back here again. So is it possible to do that? Yes, it is. It is possible. And how do you prevent it? The only way to prevent it is not to deceive yourself, but to be real and admit, that's why I'm sitting on this seat, solely to impress you. I am a dog of dogs. You have to confront that reality, because if you deny it, how can you correct it? You understand? So if you're aware, yes, this is why I'm giving class, then when I sit on the seat, I can pray to have the right motive. I want to give class just to serve. I want to do kirtan to serve. I want to dress to serve. Even though I know I have the desire that everyone will think, oh, I'm great. So I have to be aware of that, and then I can pray for purification. It's when we're not aware of it, that's when the problem comes, because we don't know. And that's called self-deception. We're motivated by the desire to get recognition, and we don't admit it. Because we don't want to admit it because it's too embarrassing to admit that actually I gave class to get recognition. Who would admit that to themselves? That requires tremendous humility to admit it, doesn't it? But as soon as you admit it, then you're humble and you can deal with it. And the point of his question is, we all deal with pride. There's no surprise. We all deal with it. It's just a question, how do you deal with it? It's not that you don't deal with it. We all deal with it. If we didn't deal with it, we wouldn't be in a physical body. That's part of the program. So how do you deal with it? And what is the goal of Krishna consciousness? Become a particle of dust at the feet of the Goswamis, at the feet of our Guru. And to feel as a particle of dust. So that's the mood. And always know the danger is you're going to lose that feeling when you get a position. That's the allurement. If you want to test a man, he's not tested by adversity. He's tested when you give him a position. Because in adversity, there's nothing you can do but tolerate. But when you get a position, it's very easy to become proud. And that's the biggest test. Bigger than adversity is get a position. Everyone's bowing at you, telling you you're great. That's the test of humility. And if you can be in that position and say, no, I'm not great, just allow me to serve you. That's all I want to do. That's it. You got it. That's Krishna consciousness. And that's what we want. And if you want position, you know, go back in the material world and go get one. Don't come to ISKCON to get a position because you will pollute ISKCON. We don't need you. If your motive is a position, go start your own company. Be number one. We don't need you in ISKCON if that's your motive. You'll destroy it. You'll ruin it. If we allow this mentality to enter ISKCON, it'll be destroyed. And that mentality we all have, so we all have to control it. Isn't it? It's Prabhupada one time was crying and he begged the devotees. He said, please don't become puffed up. He had tears in his eyes because he knew that will ruin it. It'll ruin ISKCON. And another thing, very important thing, pride ruins rasa. Why does Krishna curb his devotee's pride? Because there can't be rasa where there's pride. Whenever a devotee becomes proud, Krishna smashes it. Not because Krishna has fun smashing proud people. Krishna smashes it because it gets in the way of rasa. If you have a friend who is proud, do you have a good relationship with a friend who's proud? No, you don't like it. Pride and rasa don't go together. So Krishna, if you want a relationship with Krishna, be humble, because Krishna likes humility. He doesn't like pride. If you want to please Krishna, be humble. Sanatana Goswami was so humble that Mahaprabhu said, stop it! My heart is melting, I can't take it. But whenever there is pride, Krishna smashes it. Humility is a tool of rasa. If you want to please Krishna, become humble. If you want to make Krishna miserable, become proud. It's very important to understand. It's not just about my anarthas, it's about relationship. And if you want to be empowered to spread the Hare Krishna movement, there is no better way than to become humble. Because who can Krishna trust to give resources and power but a humble devotee? Prabhupada said, Krishna will not give the power to an immature devotee, because if he gives the power to an immature devotee, that devotee will become proud. And that devotee cannot use the Shakti. Krishna's Shakti can only be used by a humble devotee. So if you want to be empowered, if you want to do amazing service, become humble, then Krishna can trust you, and you'll do amazing things, and he'll give you more and more power, because he sees that you've done something amazing. People have praised you, and you always feel like, it's not me, it's my guru, it's Prabhupada. And Krishna sees you're humble, so he gives you more, because he realizes you know where it came from. As long as you know where it came from, it's great. You have a realization. You think, hey, I have a realization, I'm smart. Where did that realization come from? It came from Krishna. You accept it humbly. Krishna will give you more realizations. Whenever I give class, I pray, Mukam Karati Vachalam, Krishna, if you don't let me speak, I'm just going to sit up here and... any questions? I won't have a word. I won't have a word. And we all know, when we're inspired, we can't stop speaking. And realizations are coming. You don't know where they're coming from. You've never said it before. You go, oh my God, that's amazing. And then you read Prabhupada's books and you say, oh my God, I just said what Prabhupada wrote. Krishna gave me that realization. Thank you. Thank you. And you accept it humbly, he'll give you more. You become proud, take it all away. Isn't it? That's how we become humble. We become humble because we know if we want to serve, we have to be humble. We'll be destroyed by pride. We cannot serve our guru or this mission if we're proud. We cannot. It'll destroy it. It'll ruin it. And another thing, another problem, and you may have seen this. If I become a leader and then I become proud, when you become a leader, you're going to become proud because you're going to think that's what you do when you become a leader. But if I get a position, the higher I go, the more humble I become, then when you get a position, you'll become humble also. So you can see how destructive it is. If we get positions and become proud, we set a precedent. We create a culture that leaders, now everybody serves the leader. They don't serve anybody. So you want to become a leader because you want to be served. Isn't it? Well, if I say, when you become the temple president, every morning you're going to be washing pots at 5:30. Maybe I won't be the temple president, right? Isn't it? When you become a leader, you're going to serve more than anybody. I'm not sure I want to be a leader. But, no, you become a leader, you're going to get a big office, you're going to get the Mahaprasad, you're going to three people massage your feet, this, that, the next thing, you know, they'll throw money in your pocket. Hey, let me do it. And then it sets a bad precedent. And then everyone wants to become a leader for a material reason. So, if you become a leader, and you become even more humble, you set the perfect example. And then when you create the culture that the higher you go, the more you become a servant, then we're safe. If we have a culture that the higher you go, the more you're served, it's a dangerous culture because people will be motivated to get position so they can be served rather than serve. You agree? It's very important. And the Hare Krishna movement cannot succeed without us becoming humble. We cannot succeed because Prabhupada said, purity is the one asset we have that no other organization has. We're not the best managers. We're not the best speakers. We're not the best business people. We're not the best anything. But we're the best at purity. And if we give up that, we have nothing. That's our advantage. So it's very important. So humility is at the heart of purity. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. All right, we better stop. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gopremanandi Hare Hare.